Hello and welcome once again to Equipping the Saints, where we are here to drive hell out by literally bringing the truth into your mind, into your heart, by demolishing lies that Satan has prepared in your hearts and minds, and lies that so many Christians have believed. At the outset, I would like to apologize because we've had some technical issues the last time. So what we decided is we're going to do a real live stream of the whole session that we had the last time. And so we're going to do something called the fear of evil, or the fear of the devil. So we're going to deal with a very, very important issue amongst Christians, where the devil has been looked at with a sense of overawe, and has been lifted to almost a godlike status, replacing the living God and Christ himself, where Christians tend to get more scared of the devil, of evil, of things happening, rather than trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross. But before we start off, I'd like to hand the stage over to Clint from Transfigured Church, where he's just going to go through a recap of everything that we've done so far. So for those of you who are new to our broadcast, you can all be on the same page. Clint, over to you.
Yeah, so let's get on the same page with God concerning our calling and his purpose in Christ. If you've ever wanted to know the will of God, we can find it in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." So if you've ever wondered what God is doing in you, what God wants to do in you, what God's will is for you, his will is summed up in that verse perfectly. What God desires in you and for you is that you, as Paul puts it in another place, grow up into Christ in every way. God the Father, Jesus Christ, as a man, to be our example of a new race of humanity, which Jesus calls, or the Bible calls, the last Adam. And then Jesus says the last Adam has come that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. Jesus came that he would be the first of many, many to come through him that are just like him. Now it says, it doesn't say there that you were predestined to be born again into the image of his son, but it says conformed. So that means there's a process. There's a path. There is things required on our part in order to come into agreement with his son, to grow up into his son. And these things are laid out. This is what the whole New Testament is about equipping you to grow up into Christ in every way. I keep mentioning that verse. Let me just read it from Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. Here's the purpose of the leadership of the church. It says, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So what are you being equipped for? What are you being called to as a mature son to do the same works as Christ and even greater, as he said, for the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, and that in the Greek is the experiential knowledge of the Son of God, meaning you have a working understanding of what it's like to walk as a mature son, just like Jesus, to, get this word, get this phrase, to mature manhood. The purpose of the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist is to equip you to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And all of these things were revealed. It was a mystery, but these things were revealed as a plan. God revealed his purpose in Christ as a plan, that, as it says in Ephesians 1:10, to bring all things in the heavens and the earth back to their original state again. And what is the original state that we find creation in before mankind sinned? We find perfect union of creation, the created realm, with the Father, with heaven. Heaven and earth were one under God's rule and under God's righteousness. There was no sin. There was no death, of course, no sickness and disease. All of these things are a result of the fall. Now, Amit was mentioning what we're talking about today, the fear of evil or the fear of the devil. Jesus himself called the devil the ruler of this world, the ruler of this age. And Paul calls him the God of this age. Okay? This is why God sent Christ, that through his church, dominion over all creation would come back under the lordship of Jesus Christ, under righteousness again. So even though the Bible calls the devil the ruler of this age, we have to understand that as a son of God, hell cannot prevail against us. Those are the words of Jesus, that the gates of hell or the power of death will not prevail against us. This is all about Jesus stripping the authorities and the principalities, the rulers, you know, the devil himself, of the dominion that was stolen by him from the original man, Adam. And then as the last Adam, the Bible calls Jesus, taking that dominion and then also giving himself as a sacrifice that we could be brought into a place of sonship and a place of mature sonship in Christ, that we would operate in this dominion for this purpose. Remember in Isaiah chapter 9, 6, and 7, that's our favorite Christmas verse. It says, unto us a child is born, a son is given. And what does it say about this son? You know, does it say he's lonely and he needs some friends in heaven? You know, what does it say about the son? It says that he comes with the government of God on his shoulder. Jesus came to establish government, and that word in Hebrew could be translated dominion. It could be translated kingdom, okay? And so we hear Jesus come preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, preaching the gospel of this government that he came to establish through the church, or the sons of God, or the ecclesia, as you hear us say from the Greek, in order that the evil, the sin, and the rebellion of this world will be quelled and crushed by the church, that we would establish righteousness in the earth again. Now, the reason that all of this sounds so foreign to you is because mostly what you teachers or people who call themselves a teacher or a pastor, they have not taught the Word of God. They have taught an interpretation of the Word of God. And Amit and I are here today not to teach you an interpretation. We're here to teach you what it says. And we're going to say it bluntly and as simply as possible, because in your mind have been set up strongholds that blind you to the knowledge of God. You can't see what the truth is really saying because you've received traditions of men, doctrines of demons, things that the enemy has planted. We call these sacred cows sometimes. But Paul says we have in 2 Corinthians 10:4, we have divine weapons to demolish, to destroy strongholds which blind you to the knowledge of God. So our teaching is here to renew your mind to the truth and to help you see the truth, as it says in Romans 12:2, that you could be transformed by it.
Amen. And that's basically the truth that we want to deal with. And, you know, Clint, it's so amazing the way the Holy Spirit teaches, because from the last live stream till now, I've seen so much more just in a week span of how Christians are dealing with fear. And I'll tell you something, dear brothers and sisters, you're dealing with fear wrongly, because you think that fear is something that's an active force that you've got to deal with right now. But you've got to understand, as Clint just said, you have been made into someone new. You are made into a new creation, right? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says that all things have become new. And this new man, this new nature that's inside of you, does not fear. It is not a fearful person at all, because you've been given the Holy Spirit. You see, the Word of God says in John 14, he says, I will not leave you orphan. I will send you the Holy Spirit. I will send you the Spirit of truth, right? How do you get out from orphanhood into childhood, into sonship? You get from orphanhood into sonship by receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that I believe has been a major problem amongst many, many churches is this: in dealing with fear, there's too many Christians not baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, the early church was bold when they went, you've got the same Peter who was afraid, the same Peter who was afraid, who didn't know what to do, who was afraid when he saw the waves and the storm and everything. The same Peter spoke out boldly after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2. You see this awesome, awesome talk that he gives to all these people. They could have been Pharisees there. They could have been so many people. The problem is we have many enemies before us. One of the enemies is boredom, but the next enemy is fear. And Christians are dealing with these two big enemies every day of their lives without receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You are not a Christian unless you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You are just somebody who knows the Lord, who knows about him, but without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian at all. That is the crux of the matter, I would say. Clint, you want to say something?
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because now I know I'm not the only one saying it.
Yeah, because that's the problem. That's the problem. We see time and again, we see the difference in the early church and the church today. We see that the early church walked. Jesus said that you shall receive power in Acts 1:8. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will receive power. He says, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, that word witness is a Greek word called martos, which basically means witnesses willing to lay their lives down. I mean, think about it. We've gotten so comfortable with the gospel. We've gotten so we've gotten so soft with the gospel that we want to tailor make the gospel so that it does not affect anybody's sensibilities, so that it does not offend anybody, right? Because we are not bold anymore. And one of the reasons that boldness is not there is because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so today, I think what we're going to do is, at the end of the session, we're going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for anybody who needs it out there, who has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember, there is the baptism by water, and then there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The aim of putting your faith in Jesus Christ is not getting to heaven. The aim of putting your faith in Jesus Christ is so that you become the permanent dwelling place, the permanent residence of the Holy Spirit. I just want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is what we had done the last time, and I'm just going to look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll start with verse 3 onwards. He says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lewis, and your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Now, you've got to remember, this is probably one of Paul's last letters, and he's writing this knowing that this is that he wants to finish the race now. He's done. He says, I'm going to finish the race. This is what he's writing. But he's got a completely different view of life and death. Probably we'll get to it a little later. He's got a completely different understanding of what life and death is, because in Paul's opinion, if you look at Philippians, if you look at different passages, you realize that Paul was in dominion, lived in real dominion. He did not fear death at all. You know why? Because he decided when it was time to die and when it was not time to die. And if he decided to just live forever till Christ come again, he would have lived forever. I mean, that's how he was. He says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But I don't know what to choose, he says. I don't know what to choose. So Paul was not threatened by death. And there is talk that probably Timothy was affected by this, was somewhat afraid in some way. And so here we have Paul assuring Timothy, and this is what he says. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. I remind you, he says, to stir up the gift of God. There is a gift that he's talking about. He's not just talking about some spiritual gift. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, mind you, which is in you through the laying on of hands, laying on of my hands. For God has not given us up to a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You have not been given, he says, you have not been given a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Brothers and sisters, the moment you got born again, the moment you have been made into this new creation, the moment you have been made new in Christ, right? You have received a new spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. And this Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 6:17, is not separate from you, right? We've got this idea that, okay, there's the Holy Spirit and there's me. I'm a separate person. The Holy Spirit is a separate person. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that your spirit is one spirit with the Lord, united with him. And so Paul reminds him of this. He says, stir up the gift of God. Stir up this Holy Spirit that is inside of you, right? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, when you start acting in fear or responding to fear, you are not responding according to who you really are. And that's the key. You are not a fearful person from the time you've come to Christ. You are not a fearful person from the time you've given your life to Jesus. You are a new person, a new man, a new creation. And this new creation is just like Jesus. And your mind's got to mature to that level. Your thinking's got to mature to that level. But the Spirit of God inside of you is not the spirit of fear. That Spirit of God inside of you is a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The problem is we tend to look at what we feel, and I think here's the key. We tend to look at what we feel and the symptoms that we go through rather than what the Word of God says about us. You see, the Word of God is like a mirror. Imagine you saw yourself in a mirror. If you looked at yourself in a mirror, every scratch, every wound, every acne, every pimple, every beard hair that's growing on your face would be seen on that mirror. You wouldn't see anything else. But imagine if there was a spiritual mirror. If you saw who you are in the spirit through the spiritual mirror, you would see that you are just like Jesus. You are just made like him. You have his Holy Spirit inside of you. And so what is the spiritual mirror? The Word of God is the spiritual mirror. You've got to start looking at things from the microscope of the Word of God and not from what you feel. So one of the main things that you've got to deal with is stop calling yourself a fearful person. You may have been a scared person. You may have been a phobia person with a lot of phobias out there. But now that you've come to Christ, something's happened. You are no longer a fearful person. You've got the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Anything you'd like to add on to this?
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to you, Amit, and trying to think, how can I say this the most simple way for the most people? Fear is something that has captivated, seems like everybody.
Yep.
And if you are experiencing fear, if fear is controlling you, which is its whole goal, fear wants to come. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, and he prowls around seeking whom he can devour. Okay, he wants to find, and he wants to devour your life, and that is exactly what the spirit of fear does. It captivates you. It controls you. It controls your thoughts. It controls your imaginations, and it devours your life. Okay. If you are experiencing fear, the first thing you have to understand is that you are experiencing the influence of the God of this age, the devil.
Amen.
Okay. Now, as I said in the beginning, the entire point of the church is to have a new rulership suppress the old rulership. Jesus said in Matthew 28, after he rose from the dead, he said, behold, all authority in heaven and earth belongs to me. And Jesus's mission was one of authority. And I don't know if we want to take time to go back and talk about the original purpose for man. Well, I guess I just did because I mentioned it, but in Genesis 1, 26 and 28, God gives the original purpose to man. He said, have dominion. Let us make man in our image and let him have dominion in the earth. That dominion was handed to the devil when Adam chose to disobey God in the garden. And ever since that time, the devil became the ruler of this world with the dominion that God originally gave the first Adam. Hence, that's why the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam, because he came to undo everything that the first Adam let in. What did the first Adam let in? It says in Romans that through the sin of one man, death entered the world. Death and all of its effects, including fear, sickness, disease, the fear of death. All of these, none of these things are in the mind of Christ. None of these things exist in heaven. These are things that are a part of hell's world. This is a part of the devil's rulership. So if you are experiencing fear, you are experiencing the rule of another world besides heaven. And the whole point is that when Jesus came, he stripped the devil of all authority over you, over all who are in Christ, so that we could subdue him, that we could have dominion over fear. And you brought it up, Amit, that that many Christians are ruled by what they feel. Okay, if they feel fear, then they submit to it. If they feel anxiety, then they submit to it, because in your mind, you have decided, hey, if I feel it, it must be real. Okay, this is not the way the kingdom of heaven works. In order to operate in the authority of Jesus, when he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, go therefore into all nations. Also in Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Listen to me. You're not going to feel that. You're not going to feel that. How do you begin to exert dominion or authority over fear? You have to read what God has said and believe it and act accordingly, okay? And I'll just add one more comment here before I throw it back to you. The first thing that I always tell people who are dealing with fear, because, you know, people ask, well, if we cast out a demon, we're afraid that the demon's going to come back on us. Okay, I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, you haven't been trained to do this. If you have been captured and put in prison by fear and by the fear of the devil and his repercussions and his actions against you, in order for you to begin to take your place in this authority, you're going to have to do what Jesus did. He spoke to things and they obeyed him. Amen. Jesus spoke to demons and they obeyed him. Amen. Jesus spoke to with the storm and it obeyed him. This is what authority looks like. But if you're waiting to feel authority, or if you're waiting on God to somehow wave his little heavenly magic wand over your life and everything will just kind of settle down and work out in some mysterious way, you're going to be waiting a very long time. Because again, Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and no thing by any means shall harm you. And you're going to have to speak to fear like a person. And you're going to have to speak to your enemy like a person. See, sometimes when fear or the devil or sickness and disease, and we hear someone say, speak to it like a person, we feel strange. We feel weird about that.
Yep, we've had a bit of an issue with the network. I think we're sometimes waiting for God to do something, and you know, we miss the whole point. One of the biggest fears that people have is fear of, you know, if I mess up, something's going to happen. If I mess up, something wrong is going to happen. And so I want to take you to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. It's a psalm that we hear almost every time we see it. We hear about the psalm. We hear Christians speaking about the psalm. We hear the psalm being spoken of at funerals. We hear the psalm being spoken of at so many different places. But every single time, many Christians have missed the point of what the psalm is really talking about. So I'm just going to go through this psalm right now. It says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. For his name's sake. And you see, every single place that you see the Lord leading is beside still waters, restoring your soul, paths of righteousness. And then he goes and says something. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I mean, even in here, even if you've messed up and gone to the valley of the shadow of death, you've messed up, you've gone away from the way that God really has marked out for you as a son in Christ, right? Still, he says, I will fear no evil. I mean, this is the extent, and that's what he says even in Luke 10:19. He says, I have given you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing, and he says, not just authority, but authority to trample on all the powers of the enemy, but nothing shall by any means harm you. Nothing shall by any means harm you. Think about it. Nothing. I mean, that just sweeps across every possible source of fear that you might have, whether it is this, whether it is death, whether it is anything else. It just sweeps across everything. And the Lord is just declaring there in Luke 10:19, nothing shall by any means harm you. Nothing shall by any means harm you. Think about it, brothers and sisters. This is Jesus giving an assurance. This is Jesus giving you an assurance that nothing shall by any means harm you. Nothing at all. No demon. Nothing shall by any means harm you, because he is with you. He is in you. You have been given the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is one spirit with you now, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Lord does not want anything wrong happening to you. The Lord does not want bad things happening to you. The Lord wants you well. The Lord wants you new. The Lord wants you with newness, right? So if you go back to it, it says, nothing shall by any means harm you. Nothing shall by any means harm you. I'm just trying to see if we can get Clint back on. I think there's been a bit of an issue with his network. Okay. Give us a minute here.
Hello, back. Can you hear me?
Okay.
All right, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yep, I think we're seeing a bit of an issue here, but I guess yep, I think we can see you, Clint.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, I think we can see you.
Okay. Do you have audio?
Yeah. And we are back in action.
My gosh. We are on opposite sides of the world.
There's only one guy on the opposite side. I know what's his name. It's not you. Okay, getting back to Luke 10, 19, I think, right? So, as sure. You were saying, nothing shall by any means harm you. And I just took you all to Psalms 23, where, you know, even in Psalms 23, it says so clearly that it speaks about this abundant grace of God. But even if you have gone astray, I mean, he still says, I fear no evil. I mean, think about the kind of comfort, the kind of assurance that the Lord gives us. And then going on to Luke 10:19, where he says, nothing shall by any means harm you. Nothing at all. Because you are a new creation. And as Clint even tried to say, and I tried to tell you earlier, the influence of the grave, the influence of death, because that's the big fear, right? It's ultimately death, because death is this big fear beyond which nobody knows what to do. I mean, everybody's confused about what's going to happen with death and how death is going to work out. And you know what you know, but then sometimes many people don't know what's there beyond it. And so the big deal is death, because Satan has had the power of death for so long. And in Hebrews 2:14, it says very clearly that Jesus has destroyed the one who had the power of death. He has removed that dominion of the power of death, and he has set us free from the fear of death itself. I'd just like to read that verse, and then I'll just hand it over to you, Clint. It's Hebrews 2:14 and 15. I mean, this is one of the big sacred cows, the big tradition that we are kind of demolishing and slaughtering completely. Because if we get this out, if we get you to understand that fear is not is nowhere in the equation anymore. In Christ, there is no fear. If you get to understand this, there's no demonic power that is going to come and affect you. There's no demon that's going to jump back at you, because you are a new creation, the authority, the position that you're standing in. Right? Yes, if you fall back to the Adam nature, you're walking like a normal man. But if you understand who you really are and this new nature that you have, you will understand that you can walk without fear. And I totally get it, why the enemy has been trying to kind of, upset everything. But we're just going to get through. This message is going through. Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch as then children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. It's talking about Christ coming down as a man, that through death he might destroy, through his death on the cross, he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. That's it. The devil and his power of death over you is gone. It is finished. It's no longer there. Okay. He destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you get it? You were subject to bondage because of the fear of death. That's what the enemy is trying to play on you. But guess what? The truth of the word of God says you are free from that bondage of the fear of death. Start living out this new reality. You are free from the fear and the bondage of the fear of death. The fear of death is a bondage that paralyzes you. You are free from it because he has destroyed the one who had the power of death, that is the devil. So you can live right now the resurrection life. You can live right now with no influence of the power of grave over your life at all. Over to you, Clint.
Right. I think the thing that we see with many, many people who call themselves Christians is that they are double-minded concerning who they are. They use the label of a Christian, but they behave and think like a mere man. And Paul said in this one place, he wrote, are you not still worldly? And his definition of worldly is defined in the rest of this verse. He says, behaving as mere men. See, mere men or people of this world, people who are not in the kingdom, they are subject to the ruler of this world. Okay? We who are born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, sons of God, are not subject to the ruler of this world because we have been made subject to a new ruler. The ruler of this world rules with death. The ruler of heaven, whom we are subject to, being Jesus Christ, is the Lord of life. Okay? And life defeats death. In fact, that's why we have been seated with him, because he has translated us with him into a place of dominion over the kingdom of darkness. Okay? Now, if you act like the kingdom of darkness has dominion over you, it will rule you. And you're going to have to get fed up. I don't know if you understand this term in India, Amit. You're going to have to get I don't know how else to say it. You're going to have to. Okay. Listen, you're going to have to be get you have to go, you're going to have to be done being bullied.
Amen.
Fear is a bully.
Yep.
And you it is the will of God for you to bully fear.
Amen.
But you're going to have to be done with it. Amen. You know, many years ago, before we, my wife and I came into these understandings and began to mature, I came to a place because I had a chronic disease that just come back over and over and over several times a year. And the doctors were always saying, you know, this is the end of you. This is the end of, you know, things and all this stuff. And fear swallowed my life. Fear got so bad, I couldn't go to my mailbox. I couldn't open the mailbox because I was even afraid if someone had sent me a letter, right? That it's just irrational. It swallowed me whole. That's the verse I talked about earlier where the devil's like a roaring lion. He's just prowling around to see who he can eat, who he can devour, okay? And I did not understand these things because I was double-minded. I was acting and believing in my mind as a mere man. But with Christ, you have been resurrected out of death. Amen. Okay? Not just resurrected from the dead. Listen to me. Resurrected out of death. See, death has come upon this world because of sin. And in Christ, you have been resurrected out of death. This is why you have to renew your mind, because if you don't understand these things, you cannot function in them. If I put $1 million in Amit's bank account and tell him to go win India, but he has no idea the money's there, then how can he even make plans? Okay, this is the way most Christians are. They have no idea who they are. They have been taught. See, false religions like Catholicism and other things have crept in with their teachings and polluted your mind, with doctrines that do not come forth from the truth. They have taught you that it's being humble not to be aggressive against the enemy, against fear, against sickness and disease. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ spent his entire 3 years of ministry going from place to place to place to place, hunting down people who were taken captive by the devil. It says that he was anointed by God. He went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. He, listen to these words, Jesus attacked hell on purpose. That's the point I'm trying to make with Matthew 28. It's the attitude. Yep. You know, Amit was about being renewed in the spirit of your mind, being renewed in your inner attitude, right? Your attitude. Matthew 28:18 says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore." Go therefore. Go therefore, okay? That's probably not any Christians that are listening to us right now. They haven't adopted go therefore. They've adopted sit back and a defensive Maybe if we don't stir up things too much, the devil will not see us here. He's just going to leave us alone. You know, we won't do too many things. We won't speak too boldly. We won't cause any trouble. We'll just sit back in the corner and be quiet, and maybe he'll leave us alone. No, he's already won if that's you. He's already put you in prison. You are a prisoner while you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's why you're losing. Christ is in you so that you could win over all things. Listen, so that you could overcome this world. That's not the experience of most Christians, because most leaders aren't even overcoming this world. They have no idea that their mindset is completely opposite of Christ. They don't have the mindset of one who's been given all authority and the responsibility to rule in that authority. If you are son of God, you better wake up, because that's who you are, for your own sake, but not just for your own sake, for the sake of the kingdom. There's a responsibility that we bear. There's an accountability that we have to awaken to as sons of God, to grow up into the measure of authority and power that we have inherited as sons of God. This is not your choice. You can either be a son of obedience or a son of disobedience. And guess what? The sons of disobedience do not get an inheritance in the kingdom. Okay? Fear, wake up. Wake up to what fear is doing to you. Yep. You're afraid of the devil. You're afraid of sickness and disease. Listen, you've already lost. You're going to have to decide to be done with fear and oppose it with all of your might, and go hunt it down and go seek out its captives and go liberate them with the loudest noise possible, with the most ferocious intent. With you know, that's why we have in America, we say we're here to liberate the planet. We're blowing a trumpet. We are liberating the planet. We are going door to door. Who's sick, be healed. Who is bound in their minds, be free in Jesus' name. Who has not received the Spirit, be filled. See, this is the trumpet of God. We are the trumpet of God. But if you refuse to put this word to your mouth, you will make no sound. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do to you. Keep you quiet. Keep you off of the front line. Keep you out of the battle. Because all authority has been given to you. But if you refuse to take responsibility for that authority, you will lose every single day of your life. And then you're going to come to Pastor Ahmed and say, Pastor Ahmed, I need counseling because I'm depressed. No, you're double-minded. You're still thinking like a mere man. You're not thinking as a son of God. See, and here's another. We'll have to deal with this at some point probably, Ahmed, but here's the problem. You think Jesus has something that you don't. You think Jesus is something that you aren't. But I already read in the beginning the Word of God, which you haven't decided to believe yet, Romans 8:29, we were predestined to be conformed into the image of the man, Jesus Christ. He came, he disrobed, see, he removed his deity and came as a human. A new kind of human, a new race of humanity from heaven, not from earth. And then you are born again into this humanity so that you can conduct yourself according to the new nature of this humanity, which is to destroy the one who holds the dominion of death, as Ahmet read in Hebrews 2:14. All right? Resurrected out of death.
Amen, amen. It's interesting since you mentioned humility, because in Philippians 2, right from verse 1 onwards, Paul speaks about being of lowly mind, and he says, esteem the others better than yourself and all that stuff. And we automatically link, you know, this whole fear kind of a mindset with humility, and we think that's being humble. Look at what he says a little later. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And as Clint just said, Jesus, as he walked the earth, walked in dominion. He did not. I mean, think about what the modern day Christian would have done in the storm that Jesus was in with the disciples, right? Maybe they would have just held hands and said things like, okay, fine, come on, let's just wait on the Lord. Let's just be together. Let's come in agreement. No, Jesus didn't do anything of that sort. What Jesus did was he spoke to the storm. He says, peace, be still, right? He spoke with dominion. The fig tree that didn't give the fruit, he spoke in dominion. The paralyzed man, the demons, he spoke in dominion, right? And so he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And look at verse 8 of Philippians 2. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And here's the main truth that we're trying to get across to you. He humbled himself and became obedient. Humility is obedience to the word of God. Humility is not some wishy-washy feeling of feeling soft and small and less or anything of that sort. Humility, true humility, according to the Bible, is obeying the word of God, right? You obey the word of God. You follow it. You see what it says. It tells you to go heal the sick. Go therefore, as Clint just said, go therefore, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, make disciples of all nations. Go. That's your job. Your job is to go. You know, sometimes we as Christians would just stop questioning the why, and start just doing what it says. Just simply do what it says, right? Like one of the famous brands that says, just do it. Just go and do it, right? Just go and do what it says, right? That is true humility. Your fear is not true humility. And even what we were talking about earlier in Philippians 3, it says that I may know him in Philippians 3:10, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Verse 11, if by any means I can attain to the resurrection from the dead. That word, resurrection from the dead, is a Greek word called exanastasis, which basically means brought out, risen up from the influence of the power of the grave. You are living resurrection life. You have resurrection life inside of you. That's what he says in Ephesians 1. He says the same power that was there that when he rose Jesus from the dead, that's the power that he's shown towards you. That's the power that has raised you up along with him, and you are seated with him. You have resurrection life inside of you. You have springs of living water. You're a carrier of the springs of living water. I want to remind you of Peter before he got baptized in the Spirit. Before he got baptized in the Spirit, think about this. Here is Jesus praying on some hill or some mountain, and these are the disciples caught up in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It's dark. It's evening. There's a storm. Jesus comes and starts walking on water. Think about it. Jesus walking on water. That's moving out from the realm of the natural and moving into the realm of the supernatural. Coming out of the death realm and moving out into the resurrection realm, right? He's actually walking on water, disobeying all the laws of nature. That's how you can walk. You can walk by moving out from the realm of the natural and moving into the realm of the supernatural. And then he says to them, he says, do not be afraid, it is I. And then Peter says something. They're all afraid. There's a storm, there's a noise, there's wind, there's rain. Peter says, if it is you, bid me to come. He says, okay, come. And then Peter does something that most Christians don't do. Peter got out of his boat. You've got to get out of your boat. You've got boats of comfort, and you've coddled fear like a teddy bear, like a pet in your house, right? You have fed it, okay? You fed it and you keep feeding it. You keep feeding it with social media. You keep feeding it with the news. You keep feeding with everything else. You've got to start feeding yourself true food. That's really going to give you some nutrition. That true food is the word of God. That's going to get this fear out. Peter heard the word come, got out of the boat, and started walking. This is not Peter baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is not Peter as really in the fullness of the sonship that they were preaching about later. This is just Peter, who knew about Jesus, who saw the Holy Spirit working with him, and he just moves out of the boat and starts walking on water, disobeying the laws of nature, going against the laws of nature. And then he sees something. He sees the wind and the waves. Here's the deal. The miracle was not walking in a windy and wavy environment. The miracle was that he was walking on water. Whether the wind was there or whether the waves were there, whether they were not there, it didn't matter. The miracle was that he was walking, disobeying the laws of nature that would literally have pulled him down into the water, pulled him down. He was disobeying. He was violating the law of gravity and walking on water. At that moment, he just obeyed the command, started walking, and he was already walking to the supernatural. But the moment he started looking at the wind and the waves, brothers and sisters, there are those out there, you are looking at the wind and the waves. You are looking at situations in your life. You are looking at the symptoms that are presented before you. You are looking at what Satan's trying to bring before you. Fear is just a vague assumption about something that may or may not happen in the future, and you just accept it as truth instead of accepting the word of God as the truth, right? And so here's Peter. He looks at the wind and he doesn't even look at the water. He looks at the wind and the waves. He's not getting the point. The wind and the waves would not affect him. The miracle was disobeying the law of gravity and walking on water. The moment he saw the wind and the waves, his mind started thinking. He himself started moving out of the supernatural reality and into the natural reality. And immediately, I mean, that millisecond, the law of gravity just kicked in and he was pulled down into the water. That's what's happening to many of us Christians. Many of the Christians out there are operating like this. You have started walking into the supernatural, and then you see the wind and the waves. That wind and the waves could be anything. It could be stress. It could be fear of disease. It could be fear of some demon jumping on you. It could be fear of something else. It could be fear of hell. It could be fear of something. It could be a lot of stuff, right? But the moment you look at that, you start operating in the natural. You can say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You can say, Jesus, please help us. You can say, thank you, Lord. You can say whatever you want to say. You can say hallelujah if you want to. But you'll be sinking if you're not operating out of fear. Start looking at the truth and operate in boldness, right? Clint, anything you'd like to add before we...
Yeah, just one quick comment here from Romans 6. 9, we know that Christ being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Okay? If you have been resurrected with Christ, then the statement that we just read from the Word of God is also true about you. Death no longer has dominion over you. Which you? The resurrected you. If you're living in dominion of the fear of death, if fear is ruling you, then you are identifying with the wrong person. You're still identifying with the person that was buried with Christ. Yeah. The old you. The you that was in Adam, okay? You're still living as a mere man who is under the dominion of death. You have to identify with the new man that you have been made. How did this new man come about? You were resurrected with Christ. You have been resurrected with Christ. That is the new you that you have to identify with, because that is the Christ. See, you're not identifying with Christ who was buried. You're not even in the Christ who was buried.
Yep.
You're in the Christ who has been resurrected. And if you're still under the dominion and influence of the fear of death, of the fear of the devil, or fear itself, then you have not begun yet to even experience what Jesus died for, which is to live a new life that does not have any influence of death in it at all, because it has been resurrected with Christ out of death into life, no longer under the dominion of death, but ruled by the dominion of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. And if you're waiting for a feeling for this to happen, again, you're going to wait your entire life. This does not come by feeling. It comes by believing. As long as you are sensual, as long as you are carnal, ruled by what you feel in your body or feel in your emotions, you're never going to experience the reality as a resurrected Son of God. You have to believe what it says only and oppose everything else that does not agree.
Amen. 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 And that takes, as you know, many places in Scripture tells you to set your mind on things above. Look at where you are seated. You're seated in the heavenly places. Set your mind on things above. Now that takes a conscious attempt from you. That takes you consciously, you know, making sure that you don't let your mind be an indisciplined mind. An indisciplined mind is another big enemy that you have as a Christian, right? An indisciplined mind is a mind that just wanders off everywhere, just goes from place to place, just moves from place to place. You've got to start getting your mind in discipline, right? By that, I mean start setting your mind on things above. And one of the things that I've seen is what the Word of God clearly mentions, right? A means by which you can build yourself up and edify yourself and strengthen yourself is tongues. If you're not somebody who speaks in tongues, if you're not somebody who prays in tongues, if you find tongues something that's odd and weird and something strange and you don't want to get yourself into, you are the ignorant one. You are missing out on something that is such an awesome gift, right? You will wear yourself out without operating in tongues, because tongues is the rest, the refreshing that the Word of God says in Isaiah 28. And that's how fear comes to you, right? Tongues is what builds you up, strengthens you. Praying in tongues is one thing. And the other thing is confessions, affirmations, speaking what the Word of God says about you. Maybe some sessions later, we'll try and get some across to you. But the Word is full of them. I mean, it says whatever, even the passages that we've discussed today is just full. If you just take the verses that we've spoken of today and just personalize it, accept it and say, okay, that's me. I have no spirit of fear or timidity. I am bold. I am a son. I am conformed to the image of Jesus. That is just going to move you from setting your mind on things of the world, the carnally minded, which is just death, right? And getting your mind set on the heavenly stuff, which is life and peace. That's the key, brothers and sisters. Why do you think the world is so filled with information and knowledge of the carnal realm being spewed out every single millisecond? I mean, you just open your Insta, you open Facebook, you open any of these social media apps, you see knowledge just put out there. Why? Because every reel, every post, every kind of video that you're watching there is taking your mind from one topic to another, one topic, and it's not letting you discipline your mind. Your mind's got to be disciplined, right? And one thing that I remember, Clint, you shared the last time, and maybe you could share it right now, is communion with the Father. Spend time. And this is something that I can vouch for. I've tried it. I've seen it. It works. It is awesome. It is something that I have done for a long time. And every time I have, you know, stopped doing it or not done it, I've seen the way in which your mind just tends to wander away, because your mind still tends to think like Adam sometimes. You've got to get it thinking like Jesus, right? So spending time communing with the Lord, spending time just in silence, just with that awareness of the presence of the Lord in and with you, is just so awesome, because that just gets your mind to think right, to stop thinking the fear stuff and to start thinking the resurrection life stuff. Clint, if you could like to add on that.
Well, I'll just add this verse, Ephesians 2:18. For through him, through Christ, we both have, Jews and Gentiles, access in one spirit to the Father. Jesus died that you could be have redemption through his blood for the sole purpose of receiving the indwelling of God by the Spirit. Okay? Jesus died to give all nations access to the Father, as it says here, by one Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Let me say it again. See, Jesus didn't die so you could pray prayers to God the Father like you pray prayers to any other God in any other religion. Jesus died to give you access to the Father. How? Through the Spirit. All right? What are you doing with this access? How, do you have access to the Father? Are you spending time accessing the Father? That's going to take you shutting all out, all the distractions out, and having, listen, deep communion by the Spirit with the person, the Father. He's a real person, and God has given you access by the Spirit. And if you want to begin to live a different reality, you're going to have to begin to access the Father by the Spirit, because this is what Jesus died for.
Yep. And so let's just get to what we said we would do towards the end of this broadcast, and that is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we have given you the keys to get out of fear, which means you'll have to work at it. One of the, we've spoken about three things here. One is tongues. The second is declaring who you are in Christ, looking at what the Word of God says about you, right? And the third is communion with the Father. As Jesus, as Clint just said, you have access through the Spirit. You have got access. So now you've got to spend time communing with God, communing with God. I mean, this is going to get you out of the fear mindset, right, into the mindset of resurrection, into the Christ Jesus mindset, right? Keep every talk of doubt. I mean, cut off things from your life that's going to make you keep doubting, right? It's better having less friends rather than having a whole bunch of friends that only speak fear rather than encourage you in faith. That's the key. You've got to see what matters the most, because fear is the way that Satan intoxicates you so that he can just try and make you ineffective to advance the kingdom. Fear is the attack. Remember, the attack is not what you are fearing, but fear itself. Fear is the shot of vodka. Fear is the shot of tequila that he's trying to give you to make you ineffective in terms of advancing the kingdom and setting the oppressed free and really living out the sonship. So if you are out there, remember, without the Holy Spirit, boldness is just a concept, okay? With the Holy Spirit, boldness is part of your nature. It's who you are. So if you're out there and if you've never, ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Clint and myself are going to pray for you. We're going to speak over you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that the Spirit of God be released, that you may receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit that was poured out 2,000 years back. Remember, God is not doing something again now. He's already poured him out 2,000 years back. All you're doing is receiving. If you want to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit may come and dwell in you. Now remember, you may have seen miracles, you may have seen healings, you may have heard about Jesus, you may have attended talks, but that doesn't mean you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. And that's a whole transformation that takes place from inside outwards. And then life starts flowing from inside of you outside, and then you can help other people receive that same life and set them free. So if you're out there and you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Clint, let's do this.
Yeah, so as soon as I say the word now, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, no Amen. Matter what you feel. Okay, yeah. So right at this moment, I lay my hands on you for the receiving of the Holy Spirit and fire. So right now, be baptized now in the Holy Spirit and fire, filled to overflowing, filled to overflowing, filled to overflowing in Jesus' name. Every demon out and the Holy Spirit in. Every addiction broken and the spirit of freedom in. Every voice of the enemy out and the voice of the Spirit in. Filled and fire burning in you, filling you in Jesus' name.
Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're out there and you just receive, there's nothing you need to work up, nothing you need to try and do, just receive. Receive this immersion inside out, drowning literally into the Holy Spirit. And begin speaking in tongues right now. If you can just start opening your mouth. It's like the stutter of a small baby. Start opening your mouth and start speaking in tongues now in Jesus' name. Keep all the fear out, right? Keep all the fear out. Trust him. There's no need of any doubting. There's no need of anything. If you've never spoken in tongues, start praying in tongues. Start speaking in tongues right now. If you are somebody who's received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and prayed in tongues already, maybe you can join us in praying tongues right now in Jesus' name. That's right. Just move your mouth there. Open up your mouth and start praying in tongues. You don't have to think about what word you need to speak. Don't imagine. Don't use your understanding. Just let the Spirit of God just overflow. You're filled to the point of overflow. Jesus' name. And if there's anybody out there, maybe you've just joined later, if there's anyone out there, if you are dealing with any issues, like we've seen some comments here, if there's any sickness, disease, somebody said that some sort of idolatry in her home is choking her, lots of things happening in your family right now, we come against every power of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. At the sound of my voice, you will go now at the count of three. In one, two, three, go! And never return again. Back off right now. Back off right now in the name of Jesus. Every sickness and disease, back off right now. I speak to your finances. There's somebody with a financial issue. I speak to your finances. Finances, be restored now in Jesus' name. Be restored right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be at peace in Jesus' name. Be at peace in Jesus' name. If there's somebody out there, I mean, I think I hear this word gallbladder. If there's somebody out there having an issue with your gallbladder, in the name of Jesus, I speak peace and life. Gallbladder, be renewed, be restored, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Peace and life to you in Jesus' name. Okay. Thank you so much. That was fun and that was awesome. Fear has no place. Fear and faith are like oil and water. They just can't mix together, right? The remedy to fear is faith. Trust God. Trust his word. Have faith like Jesus. You see a problem, you see symptoms of fear, don't delay it. Don't let it sleep with you, okay? Speak to the problem. Talk to the problem. Talk to your mountain. Talk to that tree. Talk to things that are talk to the storm, speak to it, and it will disappear. Because Jesus is your king, and you are a king and priest unto the Lord. He dwells in you. You've got resurrection life. Go forth and set the oppressed free. Now, here's the key. We always tell you this. You can be like the wise man who builds his house on the rock, who Jesus said is the man who heard and did the word of God, right? Where the storm came, the winds came, the rain came, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Or you can be the foolish man who builds his house on the sand, who just hears the word and does not do it. The storm comes, the rain comes, the wind comes, the floods come, and how great was the fall of that house and of that man. You can be one of the many hearers, right? But you can be a doer. And a doer is a wise man. A doer is where wisdom is. A doer is where humility is. It's humble to obey. So go and do what you've learned today. Don't just keep it to yourself and hear it. Go and do. Go set the oppressed free. Go preach the gospel in Jesus' name. It was lovely having you. Lovely listening to the word of God from Clint. Clint, thank you so much, from Transfigure Church. I'm Amit Kenny from Harvest Ministries in India. We're both so thrilled to come every week to be able to give you the truth and dismantle the lies that Satan has tried to put into your minds and into your lives. God bless you. Take care. Have an awesome, awesome week ahead. We'll see you next week with more truth, more of dismantling more lies and demolishing more lies in your mind and in your life. Thank you. God bless. Take care.